Come on, somebody, give God some praise. You know, stay standing just for a moment. Stay standing. You know, I'm not old enough to be an OG preacher, but I do get a little old school sometimes. I won't preach old school tonight today, but because I like to get a little old school sometimes, and I got to overemphasize, I'm not an OG preacher. I'm a young dude. I just like every now and then just letting out a great big old hallelujah. There's just something happens to the atmosphere when somebody just lets out a great big hallelujah. When I count to three, I want you to just shout, hallelujah. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, didn't that sound good? Come on. God bless you as you're seated. You know, this is the second greatest church on planet Earth. Second greatest church. You're in the second best church in the world because I pastor the greatest church in the world. And I think everybody ought to feel that way about their church. They ought to feel like they go to the greatest church on the planet. And I really do love this church. Matter of fact, if I lived in Phoenix, I would come to church right here. If I lived within an hour of Phoenix, I'd come to church right here. I'd pack up my lunch, I'd drive to church. This is an off-the-hook, powerful, amazing church. This is a great church. And I just have to say this, got to give a shout out to your awesome pastors. You know, Pastor Mike and Mary Maiden, they are amazing people. They have blessed me, my wife, my family, our church. Listen, if you ever get tired of him, we'll take him in Southern California. Just send him over. Just give him enough gas money. Get over. We'll take care of him from there. They're awesome people. We love them. They're amazing. He is a general of the faith. I don't say that by any stretch of the imagination. He is a general of the faith. He is preaching in amazing places right now in Australia, over in New Zealand, just tearing it up for the kingdom of God. I consider it a great privilege to be able to stand here and minister to you. Also, the other great pastors in this house, the Putmans, the Putmans on the up here singing. They're just awesome people. If I could, the doctor said he's got a heart of a 20-year-old. I said he's got the hair of a 20-year-old. And He's looking pretty on fleek right there. Somebody say, Pastor Bob, you're looking on fleek. Say that to him. Go ahead. If you have your Bibles with you, this is a Bible preaching church right here. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. As you're turning to 1 John 5, I want you to say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the next few moments that revelation would flow, not just information. Everything that you purposed in your mind and in your heart for us in this place today, God, I pray that all of it would be accomplished, that not one thing you desire to do would be left undone. Father, I thank you that this is a demon-free zone. I thank you that the heavens are open over this place, God. I thank you that, oh man, I just sense this in my heart. Revival's getting ready to come in a way that you could never have imagined. I'm telling you, revival is about to hit this church. Father, and I pray for the next few moments, God, that you would just absolutely have your way. Help us to open up our hearts, our minds. Help us to receive. Help us to engage. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just anoint my tongue, my mouth, my lips. Make me an oracle. Allow me the privilege to stand in your heart and speak as your mouthpiece in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. So I told you I wanted to get a little old school in my preaching this morning. I want to talk to you from the thought, the subject, the blood speaks. Somebody shout, the blood speaks. Now, I'm an audience participation kind of preacher. If I don't get a good amen, that's good preaching, white boy. If somebody doesn't like break out a white hanky, flap it up in the wind a couple of times or something like that, I'm going to think you're not getting what I'm talking about. And when I don't think people are getting what I'm talking about, I just labor that much longer on that point. So if you want this preaching to get over with real quick. Even if you're not getting with what I'm getting, what I'm giving, then you just need to act like you are anyway. We'll be done about 15 minutes and we'll be gone. 1 John chapter 5, once again I'm preaching about the blood speaks. Every time we read the word blood in the scripture, now I got to emphasize, when we read it in the scripture, when we read the word blood in the scripture, I want you to shout the blood. So let's just practice. Just when I say three, shout the blood. One, two, three.
Blood.
Sound good. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood. Oh, come on now. You got to put a little bit more fire in that, a little bit more passion. Try it again. This is he who came by water and blood. Well, that's good. So Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth: the Spirit, the water. We know that the water can be symbolic also of the Word of God, because it's the washing of the water, the Word, that sanctifies us. So the Spirit, the Word, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So there's three at work in heaven. There's three at work here on the earth. So if the water, if the Word, if the Spirit and the blood are, when we're reading it, only when we're reading it. But that's awesome, man. You guys are zealous. You're just like, I'm ready. But anytime the Word is at work or the Spirit is at work, then you can have confidence that the blood is at work as well. It's impossible for the Word or the Spirit to be at work and the blood not to be at work. Therefore, you can stand on the Word. You can declare the Word. When you stand on the Word, declare the Word. The blood goes to work when you're standing on the Word and declaring the Word. We're also to have faith in the Word. In the blood. We're to have faith in the blood. You don't have to apologize. You gotta learn how to, like a flow, you know, like when you mess up in church, you just turn it into whoo. See, nobody knows you messed up. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, it says, for all his sins, touch the person next to you and look at him and say, he's talking to me. See, I know, you thought I was going to say he's talking to you. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, that's awesome, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God, having passed over the sins that were previously committed. So we're told that we're to have faith in the blood. We know we're to have faith in Jesus. We know Jesus is the Savior of the world. But we're also to have faith in what his blood has accomplished for us. Everything that his blood represents, what his blood has made available to us, we're to have faith in the blood. Old school saints used to sing about wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all know something about that? Y'all know wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb? Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Oh, are you messing up now? For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for the souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the salt. So the word atonement is obviously an Old Testament word that has to do with sacrifice and forgiveness. The word atonement means to comfort. He says it makes atonement for your soul. The blood will save your soul. The blood can change your soul. The word atonement, once again, it means to comfort. Somebody shout, God's got me covered. The blood's got you covered. And so the blood has life in it, because you lose your blood, you'll lose your life. It's impossible to live without blood inside your body. So the life is in the blood. Also, the blood has a voice. Do you realize blood speaks? In Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to read the story in context so you can get what I'm talking about in terms of blood having a voice, blood speaking. And there's blood speaking right now. All kinds of blood speaking right now. In Genesis 4, verse 3 through 10, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." Now, let me just add this little side note right here, because we see God accepting one and not accepting the other. The reason God did not accept Cain's offering was because Cain was trying to dictate how he would serve God. You have to understand, if we are going to receive the ultimate blessings that God has for us, that God wants to pour out in our lives, how God desires to hook us up. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." That's Jesus's mission statement, y'all. His mission statement is, "I have come to give you life and abundance over the top, hooked up, great blessings, running you down, taking you up." That's the mission of Jesus. But you got to do it his way to receive it his way. And Abel obviously did it the way Jesus said to do it. And Jesus, as a result, God's the way God said to do it. And therefore, the blessing came up on Abel. God said, "I received that." And it says, it was related to Cain. God said to Cain, he said, "Why are you angry?" You know, God's awesome, man. God will confront you even when you messed up, but he confronts you in love. Like, dude, what's up with you? Why are you getting so angry? He says, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." When you do a word study in the Hebrew of that particular portion on this verse, it literally describes a wild banshee demon crouched waiting to try to jump on you. But we don't have to walk in fear of principalities and powers, demons or imps or unclean spirits or curses or voodoo doctors or witches or anybody else. When you got the blood on you, what God's blessed, and ain't nothing out there in this world can curse. He said, "But you should rule over it." Anytime God says you should do something or can do something and you're capable of doing something, it's because he gives you what you need to do it. He gives you the authority to rule over it versus it ruling over you. God says you're on the top and not the bottom. And if you came in here today and you find yourself struggling at the bottom, Jesus is reaching out a hand to pull you up to the top. He's going to lift you to another level. You may have came in here at one level, but get ready, because you're going out on a whole nother level. Whole nother level you're going out on. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they're like, and they hear me say things like, "You want to go to another level? Ready to go to another level? God will take you to another level." And they're like, "What's going to another level mean? How do I get from this level to that level?" Going to another level simply means you're learning to do life with God better. When you learn to do life with God better, it elevates you to a higher level. When I'm down here at this level, I can see things based upon my position. But the higher I go, the better my view becomes. The greater my vision is. God wants to lift you up to a higher level where you can see things that you've never seen before. He wants to lift you up to a place where you can see out through the horizon into your future, where you may be blocked from seeing certain elements of what God wants to do right here. You keep living down here, it may block you from being able to see what God really has for you. But you let God pull you up here, you're going to see what God's got for you. And so he says, you've got the authority to rule over this thing. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. Now Abel, prior to this, when man was kicked out of the garden, in the garden there was incredible intimacy that went on between God and man. They hung out, they talked, they walked. They spent time together. There was intimacy. Sin separated. Here we see Abel once again connecting with God. Because when Abel offered up his sacrifice, God signifying his pleasure, he sent fire to consume it. I believe that so enraged Satan that he wanted to do everything he could to try to stop the worship that was happening, that was empowering man to connect with God and God to connect with man again. So Satan had to find somebody he could work through. And he found it in a crack in Cain's heart. Jealousy was the open door by where Satan could step in. The same blessing Abel had, Cain could have had. Had Cain been willing to pay the same price that Abel was able to pay. Cain was a tiller of the ground. It was easy for him to give what he gave. He didn't have to work hard to give what he gave because he already had it. It was easy. He wasn't willing to make the necessary sacrifices to get what Abel got so he could offer what Abel offered. Rather than getting jealous over somebody's promotion or somebody's blessing, you've got to learn to start celebrating somebody else's blessings. There's an old Jewish teaching, that says if you see somebody receiving a miracle, if you get to see somebody receiving a miracle, the fact that you saw it is a sign from God that you're next in line for yours. Don't let jealousy block your next blessing. When God allows you to see the blessing coming up on somebody else, it may be that God's trying to encourage you to say, get ready because yours is coming. And so Cain rose up against Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, he says, where's Abel, your brother? Now, you know anytime God comes up and asks you a question, you know he's not trying to figure nothing out. Because God already knows everything, right? Everything that was, everything that'll be, he knows it. There ain't nothing God doesn't know. So when God comes up and asks you a question, he's really putting you on the spot. Sometimes rather than trying to dodge the bullet and trying to get out from underneath whatever it is that we've created, sometimes you just need to come clean when God confronts you. God, I just got to keep it real. I got to be 100 with you up in here. God, it was me. I blew it. I messed up. I got jealous. I killed my brother. I need some help. You got to hook a brother up because I done did something absolutely crazy. I know that ain't nobody up in this house. Ain't nobody up in here ever been crazy. And so God says, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. So Cain said to God, I don't know where he's at. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. His blood has a voice. Okay, and you thought you killed him and silenced him. You might have disposed of his body, but there's something from him that's still speaking. His blood's crying out to God. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 12, it talks about the blood of Jesus. In verses 22 through 24, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. That sounds like an old school Pentecostal church right there. Where you go to church? I go to church at the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. You want to join me this Sunday? Got two services, 9 and 11. To God, the judge of all. To the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Somebody say, thank God for the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood speaks better things. The blood of Jesus is speaking better things. The blood of Abel was crying out to God. What was the blood of Abel saying? The blood of Abel was saying, you need to pay this dude back for what he did to me. The blood of Abel was crying out for vengeance and judgment. But the blood of Jesus speaks better things. The blood of Jesus isn't saying what the Old Testament blood that was spilled was saying. The blood of Jesus is saying better things. The blood of Jesus is crying out forgiveness. The blood of Jesus speaks mercy. The blood of Jesus is saying grace. The blood of Jesus is saying eternal life. The blood of Jesus is saying you receive life. The blood of Jesus is speaking better things. I want you to notice this. Where the blood of Abel was spilt was where the blood spoke from. So where the blood has been applied is where the blood speaks from. Once the blood's been applied to your life, woo! The blood of Jesus is speaking. When God looks at you, he hears the voice of his son's blood on your life. He looks at you, he hears the words grace. He hears the words forgiveness. He hears the words mercy. He hears the words redeemed. Somebody say, thank God for the blood. I told you we're going to get a little old school up in here today. Test the person next to you. Say, thank God for the blood. There's protection in the blood. Do you realize the blood can protect you? When the enemy tries to come against you, the blood can stop the enemy from being able to get you. In the Old Testament, when Passover was instituted, it was where the lamb, the spotless lamb, the firstborn lamb, was sacrificed. It's where God was wanting to deliver his people out of Egypt and carry them into the promised land. Egypt is a picture of the world without God, without Jesus being the Lord of the people in it. Pharaoh is a picture of Satan. He's a type of the devil, an evil taskmaster, blinded people, keeping them in bondage and slavery. God wanted to bring them out of Egypt and carry them into a promised land. A better life while you're here on the ground walking around waiting to go ultimately to the heaven that's been prepared for you. Don't just have the escapism mentality. I just got to get saved and just battle the devils all the way through life till I get to heaven. Thank God when I get to heaven and click my heels down on the streets of gold and walk around and look at the mansions that Jesus has prepared for us. You have to understand in the process of you going to heaven, God wants to use you to bring some heaven to earth. God wants to bless you. Somebody say, God wants to bless me. You ought to look in the mirror every single day before you leave your house and just look at yourself and say, God wants to bless you. You got to start encouraging yourself in the Lord, convincing yourself what God wants to do in your life. Because when the blood is on your life, not only is the blood of Jesus speaking for you now, but also the blood is protecting you. God told the children of Israel, he said, when you take that lamb, it should be a spotless lamb, firstborn lamb. It was a picture of Jesus. He told them you had to roast it over an open fire and eat it. Now, I eat lamb sometimes, but I'm picky about the parts that I eat. But back then, when this was instituted, they didn't get to pick and choose what part of the lamb they wanted to eat from. He said, you eat the whole thing. Eat the hind, eat the legs, eat the snout, eat it all. You got to eat every bit of it. The reason some people aren't experiencing greater levels of victory in their life because they're picking and choosing what part of the scriptures they want to apply. You got to eat the whole thing, baby. Eat the whole thing. I love the Word of God, man. I love the Word. I believe the Word of God. I believe the B-I-B-L-E. I believe it's the book for me. I believe, man, I so believe it. If it says genuine leather, I believe it. I believe the table of contents. I believe the maps in the back. I believe it all. From Genesis to Revelation, I believe it. I believe it's the infallible, inspired Word of God, divinely written by God himself through men for us. I believe it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. I love the Word of God. And so they had to eat the whole thing. And then they had to take the blood, and they were told to go into the house and not to leave the house. The house is a covering. Think about it. A house protects you from the outside elements of the atmosphere. The reason some people are being taken out by the enemy is because they haven't learned the importance of staying underneath the covering of the house. On a sunshiny day, and it's like 106, and y'all say, it's a cool day. It's hot as hell around here, man. That ain't a cool day. Y'all been desensitized by your environment. They were told to go into the house. But when a storm comes, think about this. When a storm shows up here in Phoenix, you can enjoy a controlled atmosphere. You got your air conditioner on? You can crank up the oven, the stove, and cook something, the microwave, get it going. You can watch some TV. Storm be raging outside, but you're enjoying a controlled environment. When you're under the covering of a house, there's an element of protection that comes from being under the covering of that house. Where when the storms that rage across the land are affecting everybody else, they won't be able to touch you. Because you're under the covering of a house. And then he told him, he said, take the blood and apply it to the doorpost and the little. If you were to draw a line from every place that the blood was applied on the door represents the entrance. If you were to draw a line from every place that the blood was applied, it would be in the shape of a cross. It was the blood that was shed on the cross that symbolically provided protection. God said when the death angel comes, it won't be able to touch you because of the blood. It'll have to pass you by. Have to just keep right on going. Won't be able to stop at your house. If it can't pass the cross test trying to get into your life, it don't need to be in your life. Can I mess with you for a minute? If that dude who keeps on calling you up and tracking you down and posting stuff on your social media, Instagram, blowing hearts with emojis and all that kind of stuff in your direction, if he can't pass the cross test, say, you ain't getting in my house. And if you want to come in my house, everything you bring has to be able to pass the cross test to get into my house. Because anything that dude could bring into your life, if it can't pass the cross test, all it's going to do is mess you up if it gets in your house. That's some good preaching. Ushers, we got to receive another offering on that point. That was a good one right there. That's worth an extra offering right there. Help somebody out. Just break out your phone, delete his numbers, and just text him. Say, you didn't pass the cross test. Delete. But the blood provided protection for them. The enemy couldn't touch them. Everybody else in the area, they were being affected by what was happening, but they were protected from what was happening. What was going on in everybody else's house wasn't happening in their house because they were being protected by the blood. Somebody shout the blood.
Blood.
Jesus is a picture of that. The Bible says when they came out of Egypt, there wasn't a sick one among them. Not only is there protection in the blood, but there's healing in the blood. Hey, you know, you got millions of people that are living in Egypt, living as slaves. The Israelites were slaves. There was over 3 million of them. They were living under the cruel conditions of Pharaoh. You know, there were people that had diabetes, or somebody had a broken bone, there was somebody probably had cancer. There were some hurting, broken, messed up people living in the conditions that they were living in. 3 million people, there's some sick folk up in there somewhere. But the Bible says when they came out, there wasn't a sick one among them. There wasn't a feeble one among them. When they ate the lamb and applied the blood, got underneath the house and the enemy came, they walked out the next day and not a one of them, y'all, was sick. Every single one of them were healed. Every one of them were healed. Not only is there protection in the blood and healing in the blood, but also there's supernatural provision in the blood. Bible said they came out with all the silver and the gold. Now I know I'm gonna mess with you some right here. Somebody, I'm gonna mess with you because your current conditions are speaking louder to you than the voice of the blood speaks to you. And you're believing the voice of your conditions rather than the voice of the blood that's been applied to your life. Because when they came out, there had been a supernatural transference of wealth the night before. Pharaoh said, here, gave them all the silver, all the gold. They walked out with everything they needed for their future. God hooked them up. God repaid them for all the hell they had gone through while they were in slavery. He said, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to give you what you need so you can get to where I'm calling you to go. They came out with all the silver and gold. Get ready, somebody. It's coming. Your blessing's coming. Favor's coming. Doors are opening. God's going to take care of you. So there's protection in the blood. There's covering in the blood. There's healing in the blood. There's provision in the blood. This true story. This happened down in Florida. Down in Florida, there was a man who loved Jesus on fire. He loved Jesus and he was on fire. You ever seen it like F-Y-A-A-A, fire? Fire. Somebody shout, fire. Because you know, sometimes Christians are like, oh, how cute, they're on fire. She's just on fire. But on fire, Christians will do things that on fire Christians. I almost sound like Joel Osteen when I did that. On fire. He's my friend. I'm not making fun. And this man, the Spirit of God woke him up early and said, I want you to go to work and I want you to go down there and pray. So he went to work early and prayed. Nobody else is there. He's in management. He's opening everything up, goes inside, starts praying over everything, all the office cubicles where people work, their desks, their seats, and all that stuff, going in executives' offices, praying over all the seats and stuff. He's pleading the blood. The primary thing he keeps doing is pleading the blood. I plead the blood over this desk. I plead the blood over this chair. I plead the blood over the person that sits here. He went through the whole office. And then when it came time for them to open up, all the employees started coming to work. Later on that day, he's sitting in his office working like everybody else there is working. And all of a sudden, he hears this commotion going on in the main area of where he works. So he gets up and comes out of his office and he goes out there and there are two gunmen with masks on. And they're demanding everybody give them everything they got, all their valuables, jewelry, money, everything. Open up your purses, get your wallets, get you all that stuff. Put all your diamonds, your jewelry, everything you got. Put it all out. They're doing that. And this man starts saying, "I plead." He's just standing there. He comes out. He's standing there in the middle of this open area with all these office cubicles. And he starts saying, "I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus." And one of the guys runs over there with a gun, sticks it up to him, says, "What'd you say?" He said, "I plead the blood of Jesus." He said, "Shut up." Guy kept on going, "I plead the blood of Jesus." He said, "I told you to shut up. I plead the blood." He didn't shut up. "I plead the blood of Jesus." See, you know he's on fire. Because most of them say, yes, sir, I get down. Inside we'd be going, "Lord, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Tell me shut up in my heart. He can't make me shut up, I plead the blood." And he was... And but he wouldn't be quiet. He just kept saying, "I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. I plead the blood." And the guy finally got so frustrated and angry, he actually pulled the trigger. But when he pulled the trigger, the gun jammed. Everybody's watching this go down. The other guy, the other robber, comes running over and sticks his gun up to him and says, "Shut up." He kept saying, "I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus." And that robber got so angry that he tried to pull the trigger of his gun and it jammed. True story. And so one of the robbers took the gun, hit him in the head, and they both ran out without the money, without the jewelry, without anything else. Not one person. The only thing that happened, one guy got a little bump on his head, but Jesus got an awesome testimony of how his blood provides protection. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout, "The blood." The blood. Do you realize right now there is a trial going on in heaven? Do you realize that? There is a courtroom. There is a trial that is right now in the process of being played out. We read it a moment ago in Hebrews that God is the just judge. In Revelation 12:10, it says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That means he's like a prosecuting attorney. He's like the DA. And then the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that Jesus is our advocate. He's our representative. He's like the attorney that we go hire to try to get us off the hook. I ain't always been saved, y'all. I know what it's like to be on the wrong side of the law. I know what it's like to be guilty and try to go hire the best lawyer I can find to get me off like I wasn't guilty. I didn't care that I was guilty. I just didn't want to serve no time. I know ain't none of y'all ever been in court, never been in jail. Y'all sitting there like, "Oh, how cute, that preacher used to be messed up. Now look at him." I know what that's like. But right now, if you could see what was happening in the trial going on in the courtroom of heaven, you got God, the just judge. He's sitting there. He is a just judge, and he judges all. And he judges fairly every time. The enemy brings us into the courtroom to bring charges against us, to make accusations against us. He lays out his case before the just judge. He brings up everything you've ever done wrong. But this time he's got actual evidence. He's got evidence that can prove you're guilty beyond a shadow of doubt. He's got spiritual video that he can replay. Spiritual DNA that he can show the results from. So the enemy lays out his case against you. And you know, man, once he gets done with you, you're like caught, red-handed, dirty dog, caught. Then Jesus, your advocate, you hired him. Jesus gets up. And Jesus begins to come into agreement with the prosecutor. Now, when I hire an attorney, I didn't hire you to come into agreement with the person who's trying to lock me up. You know, right there, you start sinking. Your attorney starts coming into agreement with your accuser. You're like, it's done. It's over. I'm going to have to hang. I'm going to serve my time. I'm going to get my deal that's coming to me now. And then all of a sudden, Jesus goes through the whole thing, coming into agreement with the prosecutor. As he comes into agreement with the prosecutor, y'all, the accuser, he feels like he's got this. The penalty, y'all, the penalty for the crime is called death. Satan's like, I got it, I got him, I got her, I got him. They're caught. Got this and locked up. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, but I got one other witness I want to call to the stand. Satan's looking around. What do you mean one other witness? I wasn't aware of any other witnesses. And the just judge, God the Father, says, who's your witness, counsel? He says, I want to call the blood to the stand. So the blood comes up and the bailiff pulls out the Bible and the blood lays his hand on the Bible, raises his hand, says, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And the blood sits down in the witness stand and he begins to be questioned by the attorney that you hired to represent you, the advocate, Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus began to lean over and talk to the blood and says, now, Mr. Blood, everything that the prosecutor right over there, the devil that is bringing accusations against them, everything he said about them, is it true, Mr. Blood? Mr. Blood says, well, yes, it's true. You're like, what? And so he goes through everything. And the blood says you're guilty. And then all of a sudden, right when God the Father, the just judge, began, almost is ready to crack the gavel down and pronounce his judgment, your advocate, Jesus Christ, your representative, your attorney says, but wait a minute, I got one other question I want to ask the blood. Mr. Blood, is there anything else you would like to add to your testimony? The blood says, I'm glad you asked. Because the blood wants to tell you that I paid the price for all the stuff they ever did wrong. Every sin they committed, every wrong they did, every mistake they did. Everything is, I paid the ultimate price for all of it. And then all of a sudden, the just judge comes crashing down with the gavel and he pronounces you innocent and free to go. Free to go. Satan freaks out. He flips out. He trips out. He goes in rage and anger. He's like, what do you mean let them go? They're guilty. And the blood says, but I paid the price. And the judge said, it may not be fair, but it's mercy. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Woo, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. God not giving you what you deserve. Because if God gave you what you deserve, you wouldn't be up in here. You wouldn't be up in here getting your little praise on, singing hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, worship you, God. You know some of you would be crazy, locked up, insane, in jail, in the hospital, dead, OD, strung out, addicted. You'd be messed up by the blood. Woo! Come on, somebody. Somebody shout the blood. So the blood forgives us. The blood kills us. The blood provides for us. The blood protects us. The blood is speaking for us right now. You know, in the old school church, the old school saints, they used to use a term called plead the blood. The word plead is a legal term. When you say, I plead the blood, what you're saying is let the blood speak for me. The next time the devil shows up and tries to bring accusations of condemnation to remind you of your failure, remind you of your past, the one that you got on your knees and acknowledged before God, and God washed it all away. The next time the enemy starts trying to remind you of your past, you just need to say, let the blood, you want to talk to somebody? You want to get all crazy with all that? I'll just let you talk to the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I ain't talking to you. I ain't studying that. We're not having a conversation. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Just talk to the blood. When the enemy tries to attack your house, you need to plead the blood. When the enemy tries to attack your finances, you need to plead the blood. When people in your house start trying to go crazy, you need to plead the blood. Somebody shout the blood. The blood's working for you, y'all. The blood's on your side. The blood has a voice. The blood is communicating to the throne room of God, to the courtroom of heaven, and talking on your behalf right now. There are people in this room, you got to get under the blood. There are people in this room, you got to get the blood on your situation. Got to get the blood on your health. Got to get the blood on your finances. Got to get the blood on your relationship. And the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, when the gavel goes crashing down, and the judge says, you're free to go. Woo! Who the Son sets free is free. The Bible says the blood purges our conscience from dead works. I haven't forgotten the reason that they brought me into the courtroom. But I don't live under the shame of what got me into the courtroom. I don't have to live under the condemnation of my behavior that caused me to end up in that courtroom. Because the blood is taken away. The Bible says the blood of Jesus purges your conscience from dead works to be able to serve the living God. I hadn't forgotten all about the crazy stuff I used to do. And even since I've been saved, y'all, I ain't been perfect. There have been moments in my desire to walk with Jesus. I got a little shaky at certain points. I stumbled, but I didn't let my stumble keep me down. I said, the blood's going to lift me back up. The blood's working in my life. I'm going to knock that off my knees. I'm going to get back up on my feet, and I'm going to let the blood empower me for my future. Somebody shout the blood. Blood. There are people in this room right now. You need to just get the blood on your life. You need to get the spiritually. You need to get the blood on your life. You need to get the blood on your life. There are people in this room. God told me he was going to heal people of cancer today, y'all. God told me that. God told me he was going to heal people of cancer. Blood will take care. Jesus took 39 stripes and blood came out of those 39 lashes. Do you realize there's 39 categories of major diseases? There are more diseases than 39, but all diseases come in one of the 39 categories. Jesus took one stripe for every category of disease that there will ever be. Provided it. Provided healing for you. There are people in this room, you need to get the blood working in your life. You need to get the blood working in your mind, purging you from that condemnation. Condemnation, and that's just robbing you of your confidence to walk the way God wants you to walk. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to get to the end of a sentence and the judge called me into his courtroom and say, I'm going to let you go before my sentence was over. Can I keep it 100 with you? For those of you that don't know what 100 means, I'm going to just keep it real. I got sentenced to 2 years in prison one time. And the judge kept me incarcerated for 6 months. And one day as a trustee, I had on my orange outfit with property of the county jail on it, doing my chores as a trustee. They called me and said, they want you down in the judge's chambers right now. They took me down to the judge's chamber, and the judge looked at me, and he says, today is your lucky day. I'm going to let you go. I felt so good coming out of there. I went and put on that outfit that had been folded up for 6 months that I'd wore to that courtroom that day when they locked me up. I put those socks back on, those clothes back on. I walked out of there. I felt good. I felt free. Woo! I get to get off this block I've been stuck on for 6 months. That's what the blood will do for you, man. Somebody shout the blood. How many people in this room need to get part of their life under the blood? Maybe it's your finances are out of control. The enemy has attacked them. You need to get the blood. Maybe your health is out of control. You need to get the blood. Maybe your life has been out of control, but you need to get the blood. If you need the blood on your life, I want you to jump up on your feet right now. And I want you to run down to this altar. And we're going to pray over you right now. We're going to put the blood on your life. The blood's going to speak for you. The blood's going to work for you. The blood's going to minister to you. The blood's going to help you. The blood's going to touch you. The blood right now is going to go to work in your life, y'all. Woo! Do you feel good like I feel right now? I see it on you. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, just begin to play something. Y'all help me out. Woo! I feel the Holy Spirit right now. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. I feel this. 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 I feel this right now. I feel this. There's something happening right now. I'm telling you, there's something happening. The blood's working right now. The blood of Jesus Christ is working right now. The blood's working right now. Lord, let it go to work right now. Let it go to work right now. Let it go to work. You know what every single person in this altar right now, what they came up here need. Let the blood go to work. Let the blood go to work. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've backslidden, if you're away from God, if you got, just say, God, forgive me. Cleanse me. Jesus, forgive me. He will right now. All you got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. He'll forgive you. Right now, just say it. Forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Lord, I plead the blood over every person right now. I plead the blood over every person right now. Over every person right now. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. There you go. Power of God's coming right now. The power of God. Power of God's coming right now. People are being touched right now by the presence, by the power, by the anointing. Because where the blood is, the word works, the spirit works right now. The blood's at work. The word, that's right. Right there. Somebody just got touched. The power of God went inside you. Power of God went inside you. Power of God went inside you. I break off whatever it is that's been holding you back. I apply the blood to it. I come against it right now with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I command it to be broken off of your life. I command it to be loosed from your life right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over you, sir. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life. I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke the enemy off of your life. I plead the blood over you right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Go ahead. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Right now, God, touch. Touch right now. Touch right now. There you go. Touch, 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 touch. Touch your life. Touch your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Touch it right now. Right here, the power of God is going to touch you, sir. In the name of Jesus, touch him right now, Lord. Woo, strengthen him, God. Raise him up to be a strong soldier for you, God. Man, the God's on your life, man. Thank you, Jesus. Touch him right now, God. Touch him. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Touch. Touch God. Your power. Your anointing, Jesus. Touch Jesus. Touch God. Touch Jesus. Touch Jesus. Touch Jesus. Touch Jesus. Touch Jesus. Touch Jesus. I plead the blood right now.
All things new, yes, you made all things new.
Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch mighty Jesus. Woo, right there, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Touch Jesus. Touch. Touch. Touch Jesus. Touch. Touch. Touch Jesus. Touch. Touch mighty Jesus.
We'll follow you.
Touch him right now, Father. Touch him right now, Jesus. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. The blood of their life, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there are designated pastors or prayer people, go ahead. Begin to pray over people. Begin to pray over people. There are people that are designated to do that. Go ahead, help me out. Woo. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Touch Jesus. Touch Jesus. Touch, 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 touch. Touch Jesus. Touch him. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Right here. Touch. Touch, mighty God. Woo! There you go, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Touch Jesus. Touch money, Jesus. Here you go, right here. Touch Jesus. Lord. Touch Jesus. Touch Jesus. Woo! Touch Jesus. Changing your life, sir. You're going to begin to see over the next few days and even over the next week. You're going to begin to see God radically transforming and changing certain things in your world and in your life. God's about to give you a breakthrough where there's been confusion, uncertainty, a little bit of instability. God is about to change all of that in your life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Touch it Jesus right now. More. Touch it Jesus. Touch it. Right here. Touch Jesus. Give her more Jesus. Touch.
All things new. Yes.
Touch Jesus' blood. Touch it. Touch Jesus. Touch. That's it. You too, sir. Right now. Right now. Touch Jesus. Touch. Touch. Touch him. There you go, sir. There you go. The Lord's touching you right now. The Lord's touching you right now. The Lord's touching you right now. I see it all over you, sir. Power God. Power God. Power God touching you right now. The Lord's touching your life. The Lord's touching your life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Touch you right now, God. Soak that in, ma'am. Soak that in. Soak that in. Soak that in. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Take this anointing. Take this blood. Take it right now. In your name, Jesus. Touch God. Touch right now, God. Touch his family. Touch him, God. Touch him. Touch right now. God, touch her body. Touch her. Touch her. Let healing flow into her life. Healing flow into her life. In the name of Jesus. Touch, God. In the name of Jesus. Right here, ma'am. There you go. Touch right there. Right there. Right there. Right there. God's touching you. In the name of Jesus. The Lord's going to restore. The Lord's going to restore things that the enemy's taken from you. Your best days are not behind you, but ahead of you. The Lord's about to blow your mind. His goodness is running you down and taking you over. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Thank you, Father. Lord, touch you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Touch. Touch. Lord, touch you right now, God. Touch you right now. Let your presence, your power, the blood right now, Jesus, touch. Touch. Woo. Come on, he makes all things new. Yes, all things new. Isn't that awesome?
And I will follow you.
Forward. Touch it right now, Jesus. Touch it, Jesus. Touch it, Jesus. Touch it, Jesus. Touch it, Jesus. Right now, touch it, Jesus. Touch you. Woo! Touch! Honey, Jesus, touch it. The blood right now, touch it, Jesus. Blood, the blood, the blood. The blood, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Touching your blood. The Lord's going to touch you right now, sir. There's blood right now in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Touching your life. The blood of Jesus. Touching your life.